You're listening to History for Christian Teens, the podcast where we examine historical people, places, and events through the lens of the Bible, drawing meaningful lessons that we can apply to our own lives as believers. This podcast is designed for middle and high school age students, but mom and dad and everyone else, you're invited to listen in too. This broadcast is brought to you by the Ultimate Homeschool Podcast Network. Welcome, and thank you for listening in today. I'm Crystal Niehoff.
I'm Kevin Niehoff. In this episode, we're exploring how the sibling rivalry of Cain and Abel turned fatal. You can find the account of Cain and Abel in Genesis 4. Sometime after the first man and woman were exiled from the Garden of Eden after the fall of mankind, Adam and Eve welcomed their first child, naming him Cain. Sometime later, they welcomed another son. They called him Abel. The Bible tells us that Abel grew up to tend sheep, while Cain's occupation was that of a farmer.
Reading from Genesis 4, verses 3 through 16, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden.
Let's take a look at why Abel's offering was accepted by the Lord and why Cain's offering was not. Verse 3 says that Cain simply brought some of the fruit that he had grown, while verse 4 explains that Abel brought the fat or the choicest parts from the firstborn of his flock. In other words, Abel brought the first and best he had to offer to God, while Cain brought just whatever he had available. Out of great respect for God, Abel put much care and thought into his offering to the Lord. Cain just grabbed up what he had and didn't seem to really think much of it.
Have you ever received a gift from someone who obviously put thought and effort into your gift? It may not have cost a lot of money, but they took the time to choose or create something meaningful to you that they knew you would like. How did you feel when you received it? Special? Loved? Cared for? Now, think back to a gift that you've received where it was also obvious that the gift giver put little thought nor consideration for you into it. They may have felt obligated to give you a gift, so quickly picked out the easiest thing they could find. But how did that make you feel? Unimportant? Unloved? Perhaps invisible? Proverbs 3 verse 9 says that we're to honor the Lord with our wealth, with the first fruits of all our crops. This brings us to our first life application point for this episode. Our God is worthy of the first and best of our time, efforts, and resources. To give him leftover or misdirected time and energy isn't giving him the best he deserves. In Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus tells us to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind. And 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 says, do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth.
Next, we see from the Lord's conversation with Cain in verses 6 and 7 of Genesis 4 that Cain is harboring anger in his heart toward his brother. God tries to warn Cain that sin is lying in wait for him, but to no avail. As Proverbs 11:2 tells us, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. The Bible also warns us that pride goes before a fall. See Proverbs 16 and 18. I think as we examine Cain's response to God, preferring Abel's offering over his own, pride definitely comes into play here. Many times, though, not always, anger stems from our pride being hurt in some way. Today's second life application point is to guard yourself against pride. 1 Peter 5, 6 instructs us to humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cain could have humbly learned a lesson from the Lord's instruction to him, but his pride just wouldn't let it go. Cain continued to harbor anger and resentment toward his brother instead of taking control of his thoughts and emotions.
Which leads us to our final life application point for today. Control your thought life. Proverbs 4 verse 23 instructs us to, above all else, guard our heart, for everything we do flows from it. Sin rarely ever just happens. Before we commit the act of sin, the thoughts that lead to sin creep into our hearts. Do you have a brother or a sister? Have you ever felt jealous of them? Maybe they were preferred by your mom or your dad over you at times, or so you thought. Growing up, I had just one sister. I was the oldest and she was the baby. Let me tell you, there were many times I felt my mom babied my sister and gave her preferential treatment. It also felt to me that I would get blamed for something my sister did wrong. Mom just automatically assumed I did it. Boy, would this make me mad. As I harbored jealousy and bitterness in my heart toward my sister, thinking only negatively of her and my mom, rather than taking control of my thoughts, I would seek out ways to get back at my sister or get her into trouble. And in the end, this only got me into more trouble and made me miserable with all the grudges I held against my mom and my sister. Thankfully, as I grew older and wiser, I was able to let go of those negative thoughts and take control of how I see my mom, my sister, and even myself. Nothing good comes from viewing yourself as a victim. The Bible is clear in Philippians 4, verse 8, detailing the types of thoughts we should allow ourselves to dwell on. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Amen. I think that's an excellent thought to end on today. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. If you have any questions, comments, or are in need of prayer, Crystal and I would love to hear from you. Drop us a line by emailing historyforchristianteens@gmail.com.
Be sure to tune in next week when we explore the courage of a man who obeyed God, even when it made no earthly sense, and caused him to be mocked and ridiculed. This story will inspire us to stand up for what's right and stand out from the crowd. Have a blessed week. Thanks for listening in today. If you like this podcast, please be sure to subscribe and give us a star rating on your favorite podcast app. You can follow us on Facebook too. Links to this and all the other resources mentioned during the podcast today can be found in our show notes at historyforchristianteens.com. We hope you'll join us again next week for another thought-provoking and insightful lesson in History for Christian Teens.